Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
We're doing something a little different for the first scripture reading. It's from Psalm 22. It should be on the screen, but will it be on the screen? At any rate, you can go to your hymnal, page 752, and follow along. I read the light text, and together we read the bolded text. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the woods, from the groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you, the praise of Israel, are enthroned in holiness. In you our forebears trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He committed his cause to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let the Lord rescue him, for the Lord delights in him. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of print. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Indeed, dogs surround me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. And for my raiment, they cast lots. Even from you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who worship the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nation shall worship before the Lord. For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. All who sleep in the earth shall bow down to the Lord. All who go down to the dust shall bow before the Lord, and I shall live for God. Posterity shall serve the Lord. Each generation shall tell of the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn. Surely the Lord has done it. And our scripture reading from the New Testament is John chapter 19, verses 1 through 20. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God. Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the clay of preparation for the Passover. It was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified.
Good Friday is a hard day. It's stark. It's barren. It's desolate. If we really think about it, it's a day when it might be difficult to even get out of bed, much less get dressed and come to church at 7 o'clock at night. There are no festive lights adorning the tree and buildings this time of year. There are no spectacular decorations on Good Friday, although Lewis always does an amazing job. There are no beautiful flower arrangements, no upbeat songs, not even refreshments to look forward to at the end of the service. Good Friday is hard enough that it would be easy, very easy, to skip right over these services. Wouldn't it be nicer to spend these few days before Easter enjoying the beautiful weather, planting some flowers, stuffing our Easter eggs, preparing for the festivities that are fast approaching on Sunday? But you didn't. We didn't. And for good reason, I think. Good Friday, as hard as it is also important, central to our lives of faith. It matters that God suffered, that God died. There are many different theories about what exactly happened that day on the cross. And while I suspect they all contain a piece of the truth, I don't think we'll ever entirely understand, be able to embrace the meaning of the crucifixion. Nonetheless, it is essential for us as Christians to stop and dwell for a time in the holy shadows of this day. As I started preparing for tonight, I became acutely aware that I had no idea what to say. How do you preach on Good Friday? It seems presumptuous to think that I might explain the death of God in 6 to 8 minutes. Well, thank goodness for music. Music somehow takes us to places of reflection that our thinking and our words and our minds can never go. And the song that's woven its way through my Holy Week is the song that the choir here at Pacific Beach finished with on Palm Passion Sunday. Were you there? It's a favorite of mine with its simple, direct words and haunting melody. As I heard the choir sing it multiple times over the last few weeks, I found myself trying to answer that question. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And the most straightforward answer is, no, I wasn't there. That was a long time ago. In our Lenten study shared between our two congregations, we studied the people who were at or near the cross at the time of the crucifixion. And one of the things that became abundantly clear is that the four gospel writers have some significantly different accounts of who was there and how things unfolded. We were not there, but we get little pieces of information and insight from those who were, as it comes to us through the lens of each particular gospel writer. And truth be told, if we were there, it is possible, if not likely, that we, like Peter, would have backed away out of fear from the horrific scene, from the execution of our leader, our Lord, our friend. Were you there? No, we weren't. And if we had been, would we have stayed? It's hard to say. But the more I sat with this question in the last weeks, I also found myself wanting to say, yes, in some ways, yes, I was there. I am here. We are here. For better or worse, we are people who bear witness to violence around the world in ways that feel up close and personal. We were just a few days into the invasion of Ukraine when we started this year's Lenten journey on Ash Wednesday. We never could have anticipated all that would unfold in the subsequent weeks. Against that backdrop, I can't help but think, yes, yes, we were there. We are here. We are somehow at the crucifixion of Christ when we bear witness to bodies and souls being ravaged, as we bear witness to innocent life being extinguished in senseless, atrocious ways. We are here with our shock and outrage and fear and grief. We are here. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why it's important for us to observe Good Friday. It isn't an easy day, but life isn't easy either. There are hard times, difficult seasons, experiences we endure as individuals, as families, as communities, as countries, as a global village that we could never anticipate, would never want to anticipate. And somehow, knowing that Jesus, the one we call Lord and Savior, traveled this road of suffering makes a difference. Somehow knowing that God's own heart broke in a way that rent the fabric of the temple veil and shook the entire earth, somehow knowing, remembering these things makes space for grief in the midst of our faith. Good Friday is a day that reminds us not to stuff down our grief or to tuck it away out of sight and mind before coming into God's house, God's presence. Good Friday reminds us that this is the very place where God, who understands, will meet us in these holy shadows. And with what does God meet us? We are reminded on this Good Friday that God meets us with an unrelenting love. Jesus talked about it at that last gathering with his disciples, his friends, when he knelt in service, washing their feet, when he broke bread, shared the cup, and asked them to remember. When he told them again and again, love one another, remember this, remember me, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus then demonstrated that love on the cross, taking into upon himself the full force of our human capacity for hate and violence, and he remained steadfast in love. In John's gospel, the account Craig read tonight, we hear only a few words from Jesus on the cross. But what we hear in John is Jesus speaking to his mother and to the one called the beloved disciple. From the cross, he said, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." He turned their gaze away from the abyss of death and turned them toward one another, in essence saying, "Be kin to each other. You belong to each other now. Love one another." Our Lenten theme here at Pacific Beach has been filled to the brim. We have talked about what we need to let go of, ways we need to empty ourselves in order to be filled anew. We have talked about God's love and grace that overflows into our lives. We have talked about how that love and grace finds expression in our lives in a way that it can overflow then to others. Good Friday reminds us of something else important around this theme, and that is that God knows what it means to be filled to the brim with sorrow as well. And while that's a difficult notion, there's something oddly comforting in it. I don't believe we'd entirely trust a God who didn't somehow know grief and sorrow. Perhaps that's in part what Good Friday is all about, bearing witness to grief, God's grief, our grief, the grief of the world, not stuffing it down, not tucking it away, but bearing witness to that grief, to the brokenness around and within us, and remembering, bearing witness to it all, and choosing love anyway. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Join me in the affirmation of faith found in your bulletin or on the screen. We believe that the crucifixion shows us the worst in humanity. Violence inflicted on the innocent, shame poured out in excess, mockery for the sake of mockery, and abandonment of those we love. We believe that Jesus shows us the best in humanity. Grace, where grace is undeserved, humility in the face of power, justice in the face of oppression, love that overcomes. So today, as one voice, we choose the latter. We choose love. We choose grace. We choose one another. We choose to remember. Let it be so. Amen.
Friends, I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer. God of love, of forgiveness, of patience, of compassion, God who is present in the light and in the darkness. As we gather this day in person and online, we remember. We remember vividly, O God, because we are familiar with the darkness. We remember vividly, O God, because it seems as though we've been locked in the tomb for so long. We feel it. We sense it. We know it. We understand that so many died. That so many have lost. That so many grieve. That so many feel as though the crumbling is only begun and may never end. God, give us your strength. Give us your compassion. Give us your comfort. Because, O God, we experience that weary ache. That is under the blanket of darkness. Remind us, O God, that it is okay to sit in the quiet of the tomb, in the darkness of the tomb, for just a while longer. Remind us, O God, that as we sit in the quiet darkness of the tomb, for just a while longer, that we do not sit in the dark quiet alone. That you hold us in our weary achiness, and you do not let us go. As we recognize the pain of the world and loss, as we recognize the violence, as we hear harsh words among people who disagree, as we ourselves experience the ache, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts. So that we might see that we do so accompanied in your grace. We pray these things, O God, seeking your strength, as we join together in prayer together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.